There was someone in the house, someone waiting for me to come home, someone who a few moments earlier had probably given up the struggle and lit a cigarette, taking no more than a few puffs and opening a window to let the smoke out. But still the smell remained. This could not be a person I knew. The house was still locked up, and I didn't know anyone who smoked, apart from Nutmeg Agasaka, who would hardly be waiting in the dark if she wanted to see me. Instinctively, my hand reached out in the darkness, feeling for the bat. But it was no longer there. It was at the bottom of the well now. The sound my heart had started making was almost unreal, as if the heart itself had escaped from my chest and was beating beside my ear. I tried to keep my breathing regular. I probably didn't need the bat. If someone was here to hurt me, he wouldn't be sitting around inside. Still, my palms were itching with anticipation. My hands were seeking the touch of the bat. Mackerel came from somewhere in the darkness and, as usual, started meowing and rubbing his head against my leg. But he was not as hungry as usual. I could tell from the sounds he made. I reached out and turned on the kitchen light.
Sorry, but I went ahead and gave the cat his supper,
said the man on the living room sofa, with an easy lilt to his voice.
I've been waiting a very long time for you, Mr. Okada, and the cat was all over my feet and meowing, so I hope you don't mind. I found a tin of cat food in the cupboard and gave it to him. To tell you the truth, I'm not very good with cats.
He showed no sign of standing up. I watched him sitting there and said nothing.
I'm sure this was quite a shock to you, finding somebody in your house waiting for you in the dark. I'm sorry, really, but if I had turned the light on, you might not have come in. I'm not here to do you any harm, believe me, so you don't have to look at me that way. I just need to have a little talk with you.
He was a short man, dressed in a suit. It was hard to guess his height while he was seated, but he couldn't have been 5 feet tall. Somewhere between 45 and 50 years old, he looked like a chubby little frog with a bald head, a definite A in Mei Kasahara's classification system. He did have a few clumps of hair clinging to his scalp over his ears, but their odd black presence made the bare area stand out all the more. He had a large nose, which may have been a bit blocked, judging by the way it expanded and contracted like a bellows with each noisy breath he took. Above that noise sat a pair of thick-looking wire-rimmed glasses. He had a way of pronouncing certain words so that his upper lip would curl, revealing a mouthful of crooked, tobacco-stained teeth. He was, without question, one of the ugliest human beings I had ever encountered, and not just physically ugly. There was a certain clammy weirdness about him that I could not put into words, the sort of feeling you get when your hand brushes against some big, strange insect in the darkness. He looked less like a human being than like something from a long-forgotten nightmare.
"Do you mind if I have a smoke?"
he asked.
"I was trying not to before, but sitting and waiting without a cigarette is like torture. It's a very bad habit."
Finding it difficult to speak, I simply nodded. The strange-looking man took an unfiltered piece from his jacket pocket, put it between his lips, and made a loud, dry scratching sound as he lit it with a match. Then he picked up the empty cat food tin at his feet and dropped the match into it. So he had been using the tin as an ashtray. He sucked the smoke into his lungs with obvious pleasure, drawing his thick eyebrows into one shaggy line and letting out little moans. Each long puff made the end of the cigarette glow bright red like burning coal. I opened the patio door and let the outside air in. A light rain was falling. I couldn't see it or hear it, but I knew it was raining from the smell. The man had on a brown suit, white shirt, and red tie, all of the same cheap quality, and all worn out to the same degree. The color of the suit was reminiscent of an amateur paint job on an old car. The deep wrinkles in the trousers and jacket looked as permanent as valleys in an aerial photograph. The white shirt had taken on a yellow tinge, and one button on the chest was ready to fall off. It also looked one or two sizes too small,